Hey, this is Alex with the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. If you haven't joined our Discord yet, you're missing out. Go to our Twitter at Unbiased Blazers. There's a link in our bio where you can join the Discord server from there. There's also links in every podcast description, so you can join from there as well. Now, let's get to the show. Rip City, baby. Rip City, what is going on? We're back. Episode 2 of season 2. I believe this is episode 2. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I'm so confused. It's been a long couple weeks.
We skipped last week, so it's kind of throwing everything off.
Yeah, we did. First thing I wanted to talk about real quick before we kind of get into it is a little life update. And honestly, Fawad, I'm not even sure if I've talked with you about this, so this might be news to you. My wife is pregnant. Any moment she could have our kid. She is at the 15th is technically her due date. So at any moment she could have her kid. So life's been a little crazy getting everything ready here at the house and rearranging. And today it seems like our heater actually went out. So I was trying to figure out what's going on with our heater. So I'm very, very frazzled right now. Unprepared and a little all over the place. So, which also could affect next week if we end up having him, we might have to skip a podcast or maybe do it at a later date. But that remains to be seen. It could end up being forever until we have this kid. Our first kid came 3 weeks early, and this one's seems to want to be going the full term. So, either way, he'll be here soon. So. This podcast is a little crazy, that's my excuse.
I didn't know you guys were expecting. That's awesome. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Let me just put it this way. This is the last one. I already have my appointment to get snipped, and I'm not messing around. So this is last one. But let's, Fawad, obviously you're here. How are you doing tonight, Fawad?
I'm good. A little bit tired. Not sure why. I don't know. I think the early the daylight savings kind of threw my schedule off, but other than that, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I think I can admit this is the first time where daylight savings time has really thrown me off. Usually it doesn't bother me, but I'm having a hard time adjusting right now. My daughter seems to want to go to sleep super early now. She sees it's dark outside and thinks it's bedtime, so So because we skipped last week, we kind of have a couple games that we haven't talked about yet. So we're kind of just going to quickly go over them. We are no longer undefeated. Last time we left the podcast, we were 5-0, I believe, or maybe 4-0. I can't remember 4-0. When 4-0. Mm-hmm. That's right. We did. Denver was the last game. We were 4-0. Our very next game was against the Heat. Did not fare so well in that one. And actually, honestly, I think it would have been a different outcome had Dame not got hurt. He ended up getting a calf strain in the third quarter. He said that if it was like a playoff game, he would have stuck it out and played. But they were kind of taking it easy, taking it cautious, which I'm fine with. So we ended up losing that game 119-98. I know it was a little while ago. Do you have anything from that game that kind of jumps to your mind?
It feels so long ago. It was like, what, 5 games ago? No, I just think we weren't doing as well as the other games at that point, even before Dame got hurt. But as soon as he got hurt, it was like, you know, they went on a huge run. It was probably, like, we were down when Dame got hurt, but I think it was, you know, it was not a big difference.
It was manageable.
Yeah, it was manageable. But as soon as he went out, it was like, okay, that's a wrap on the game. We're no longer undefeated. But yeah, I don't remember anything too specific or noteworthy from that game.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I could either. And that was the night I lost a lot of money.
I just remembered, because it happened last game as well. I think our turnovers that game were ridiculous, and I'm looking it up right now. It's we had 19, which is a lot, but it's honestly less than I expected. I felt like we were turning it over like every single possession. And that's something that apparently looks like we haven't gotten in control yet. So
yeah,
that will be something to work on.
Yeah, I think that's something we're going to talk about here in a little bit. The next game was against the Rockets, which obviously Rockets aren't a very good team. We won that one pretty easily. Sorry, I just had an ad shoot off on my ear. Oh my goodness, that was loud.
That game was encouraging to me though, because you know they aren't a good team, but they do have a couple guys that can pop off
for sure.
And without Dame, you know, most seasons, you know, even if we're playing the worst team in the league, it will be probably a close game. So Dame wasn't playing. Ant dropped 30, an efficient 30. Nurk had 27 and 15. So we saw multiple guys step up. Shaden Sharp, 7 for 12 that game. So that was
I believe that was his first game starting as well.
Yeah, it was. Just overall, I liked that game. It was encouraging to me because I saw that the rest of the team can step up. So that was good to see.
Yeah, and a trend we're going to see as the year goes on, it looks like, is Justice Winslow stepping up, playing big-time minutes, and being in important possessions, both offensively and defensively. I know we've talked about in the past that Winslow's offense isn't as great, but his defense makes up for it. But honestly, this year, his offense has been, I know people can sag off of him and make him shoot, but I mean, I've always been big on Winslow, and I was happy when we had him. Obviously I wasn't like, you know, ecstatic that we had him, but I think he's a good piece. This year he's exceeded my expectations. As far as Winslow goes, before we keep going on to these other games, is there anything you want to talk about with Winslow? I feel like offensively he kind of runs the point when Dame goes out, controls the pace. Almost kind of reminds me of like Kyle Anderson, where it's like everything's kind of slow motion for him, but it's like smooth, and he's so strong and big that he just kind of gets in there, and some of the layups just look effortless. Like he's not even bothered by anyone around him. So I don't know if you have any opinions on Justice Winslow, but I've been very pleased with what I've seen from him, and it's encouraging.
Yeah, I definitely have been impressed with him, mostly because my expectations for him were pretty low. But even still, he's definitely been a positive contributor. I still don't love his offensive game, but he definitely is a good playmaker. You know, he occasionally can get a good basket inside. His finish is decent. I don't have the numbers on me, but I feel like just from the eye test, it looks like his finishing is not bad. So, you know, he's been, I guess, average or just below average on offense, and then he's been good defensively. So I think overall he has been a positive contributor, especially off the bench. So that's something that's really nice to see. And one more I guess just positive from his game is that he's a good ball handler. And you know, again, in the past we've had two ball handlers, some years three, and the third one would be like Shabazz Napier or something. So this year we have a couple other guys, including Winslow, who are all good ball handlers, and that's, you know, it should help us make our offense a little bit more varied. It should help with reduced turnovers, but again, that hasn't happened so far. But you know, he's just been doing a lot of little things that are nice to see.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, offensively, a great night for Winslow offensively is going to be like 12, 13, 14 points. Like if he gets 12, 13, 14 points, that's a great night offensively for him. But what jumps out at me when I'm looking at the last couple games, he had one game with 7 assists. He had one game with 9 assists. And actually the game where he had 9 assists, he almost had a triple double. He had 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and 12 points. So, I mean, he does everything, a little bit of everything. It's not like offensively, it's not like amazing what you get from him, but it's like, I don't even want to say efficient. It's just like, it's solid. Like you can count on him to make the right play. Usually make the right pass. Usually be in the right positions, fight for rebounds. Offensively, he does what he does. It's nothing special, but it's also not killing us on offense either.
And you know what? His offensive output, production, whatever you want to call it, I feel like it's not too different from Harkless and Aminu a few years back. So they were starting and putting up these same numbers. Winslow's doing it off the bench in like 15 minutes. So he's at worst, I would say he's equivalent offensively to probably Harkless, who's, I guess, slightly worse than Aminu because Aminu could at least shoot. But, you know, equivalent to Harkless on offense, probably equivalent to him on defense as well, to be honest. But with added playmaking and he's off the bench instead of starting, so that's definitely a good player to have.
Yeah, I agree. The next game we had was against Memphis. That one we lost, unfortunately. If you guys don't know, right now we are 7-3, so still a very good record. Very good record. I think we're tied for second, I believe, or is it tied for first now?
I think it's tied for second, but it's like a three-way tie.
Yeah. So this was another game we lost to Memphis. Obviously, we didn't have Dame for this one either, and I actually don't think we do. We had Simons in this one. It was a. I'm trying to remember this game. I remember watching it because Jaw was going crazy.
I missed a lot. I honestly don't think I watched a full game this week. Things just kept coming up. I saw like one game I would see the first half, one game I'd see the second. I think this game I only saw the first half, and I didn't like what I saw a lot. But and I feel like we were down like double digits most of the way, but we did bring it back towards the end and had a comeback. So I didn't see the comeback myself, but I think it is encouraging that we didn't roll over and die. We brought it back, and it was a close finish.
And I said Jaw went crazy. Yeah, without Dame. I said Jaw went crazy. He did do okay. I meant to say Desmond Bane went crazy. That guy, I think he hit like five threes. Yeah, he was just not, he was not missing. That was, I don't really remember a lot from it. I remember that Nurkic had a pretty decent game. I'm going to be honest with you. I know we're kind of jumping all over. Like I said, this podcast is probably going to be all over the place. There's people that do not like Nurk, think that he needs to be traded. He's too inconsistent. I don't know about you. I have liked what I've seen from Nurk. There are times when he kind of checks out mentally and makes, you know, kind of lazy plays or lazy passes. But for the most part, I feel like he's been engaged a lot. He's defensively, some people think that he's still not very, very well off defensively, but I feel like he's been doing very good defensively. Obviously, he can't keep it up 24/7 every game, you know, playing great defense constantly, but I feel like for the majority of the time, he's been good defensively.
I feel like I've been underwhelmed with him defensively, but he's still been a positive.
I'm gonna check real quick what his defensive rating is right now.
And overall, I would say I haven't really had issues with him this season, but I think he hasn't been much better than last season, or the one prior. He's just, you know, around the same level, maybe slightly better offensive, or not even offensively, but his three point shot's looking a lot better. But other than that, I think for the most part, he's been pretty similar to last year, maybe fouling less as well. So I guess on that end, he might be better defensively.
He has definitely been fouling less, at least not being in foul trouble as much. Yeah, put it that way.
For sure. Overall, it's clear that he's not 2019 Nurk, and that Nurk is not coming back. So I just take him for what he is.
So I'm looking right here. It says his defensive rating is 105.9, which is pretty decent. I'm trying to find his pass ratings.
What'd you say his defensive rating was?
105.9, which is actually not terrible.
Pretty good, I'd say.
I wish I could find his pass ratings.
What was I saying about him? I think, he's not going to be 2019 Nurk, but I think for what he is, he's a solid starting center. So, yeah.
So last year, Nurkic was 111.8 defensive rating, and the year before that 109, the year before that 108, and then 2018-19, that was the year he broke his leg, right?
Yeah.
Or was it 19-20 that he broke his leg?
It was 18-19.
So, which we arguably think was probably his best year with us, both offensively and defensively. He was 104.8 there, and right now he's 105.9. So, I mean, he's defensively, I know some people don't like defensive rating, and it doesn't give you the whole picture, but just from watching a lot of his games, I feel like the most I can ask out of Nurk is that he's contesting shots without fouling, and that's what he's been doing. And sometimes he still goes out and tries to blitz the screen and, you know, gets beat defensively. That's going to happen because he's 7 foot, 300 pounds. But one-on-one down on the block, he can hold his own against anybody. He makes it a tough night for a lot of players. I know Steven Adams isn't like, Steven Adams isn't like the greatest offensive player. So he's mostly just offensive rebound putbacks a lot of the time. So I've been encouraged by what I've seen from Nurkic. I don't know about you guys that are listening, but I have been. I like Nurkic, and something we haven't talked about yet, but we talked about at the beginning of the year. He's been shooting threes like a crazy man. Last I checked, he was 5 of 5. He's made the last 5. I don't think he shot any last game, did he? Let me check real quick.
I don't think he shot any last game, but I'm not sure what his like streak is either.
He did shoot a 3 and he missed one, so he's no longer 5 of 5. But the last couple games he's hit every 3 he's taken, and they've been, like you said, they've been clutch threes. They've been some big threes that we needed. So,
One quick thing about defensive rating, I feel like about individual players, it's not always telling, comparing it like across the league, but if you compare it like within the team, then that's really telling. And he, among, you know, the rotation players, he's 3rd after Winslow and surprisingly Shaden Sharp. So, you know, obviously Winslow we know is a good defender. Nurk is, you know, just right below him too. So he's definitely still one of the best defensive players on the team. That's not in question at all. But like I said, I think he's still a positive defensive player. He's just not like the beast he was in 2019.
Yeah, and something I'm looking at, and this is a little encouraging. The most a team has scored against us so far this year has been 111. How many games did we see last year and the year prior that were like...
Wait, didn't Miami score like 119 or something?
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I missed that one. They did score 119. You're right. So 119 and 111 are the two highest scoring games. I think last I looked, we were 8th in defense for allowing points scored, which last year we were 28th or 29th. So that right there just tells you how huge of a jump we've made. Who knows how long it can last. But I don't know about you, but I've loved every second of watching this defensive, like just getting down and gritty and making stops when we need them. And
yeah, I was thinking about that last game actually. Like any year of the last 5, like take your pick. If someone passes the ball on the perimeter, that like our defense completely collapses and it leads to an open 3. Now this year, we have people who actually rotate and switch onto the other guy. So it's, you know, the amount of open threes is so much less than, you know, in previous years. It's just, even if the rotation is late sometimes, it's always there. I haven't seen a single time that I can remember where we just, you know, don't contest a 3. It's just, you know, the effort is there, which is always a good thing to see.
Yeah, and we have Josh Hart, who plays good on-ball defense. He plays good off-ball defense. He's a rebounding machine. We have Jeremy Grant, who plays very good off-ball defense. He is a good on-ball defense player, too, but he's very good off-ball. We have Nurkic, who's playing good down in the post. I'm going to be honest with you, Damian Lillard has played very well defensively for the majority of, like, what we're, especially from what we're used to seeing to what we see now. He has really done much better defensively. It's not, I'm not going to say like it's great or good, but he's done much better than we're used to seeing from him. Simons, I'm fair on him. Like there's games where he does, I feel, do better defensively. And then there's games where he doesn't. And there's always just like the, Like last night I was watching against Miami and there was a couple plays where he just loses his man off ball and he just kind of watches the ball and then his guy either cuts or gets open for a three and then he gives this like half-ass contest to it. It's just like those are the type of things that kill us, and I'm sure maybe he's tired from, you know, running the offense, but for the most part our team has been very good defensively, and I haven't even talked about Shaedon Sharpe defensively, Justice Winslow defensively, and I'm gonna be honest with you, Eubanks has done pretty well defensively too. He's made some big plays, made some big blocks this year. It's nice. It's nice to have defense for a change. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that, but
Nothing really. But yeah, again, Eubanks, I've liked what I've seen from him on defense and even on offense some games as well. Pleasant surprise.
I'm actually surprised by his the alley-oops we've been tossing to Eubanks. It happens a lot more than I thought it would.
He's playing more than I thought he would in general, but I think he's earned those minutes for sure.
So the next game we had real quick was against the Suns. And this is a game where we had back-to-back games against the Suns, both in Phoenix. So we'd already beat Phoenix once. Then we had back-to-back games. This first game, we come out obviously against Phoenix, who's a very good team. And at the time, I think we were second below them. They were first, I believe, without Dame and without Simons. This is the game that we did not have Simons in. And little did we know who needs Dame and Simons when you got Jeremy Grant. I mean, we end up winning this game 108-106. A little controversial. I don't know about you. I've watched that play multiple times. I know that stupid last 2 minute report that I don't know about you, Fawad, but I can't stand that stupid thing. Like, it just is so pointless to me. It's like a slap in the face to everybody. It's like, yeah, you guys got screwed, or yeah, you guys got lucky, but oh well, nothing you can do about it. It just, and then it's also like, yeah, the last 2 minutes matter and they're important, but there's plays that happen throughout the entire game that matter as well. So it's like, why these last 2 minutes are the only thing they want to talk about? I think this was the game where they called a goaltending on Keon, right? Is this the same game? Do you remember that?
I don't remember. This was one of those ones where I only caught like the last few minutes. I think maybe like four or five.
You caught the good part of the game. So anyways, I mean, the last 2 minute report, if you guys like it, then that's totally fine. I just, to me, it doesn't make sense to come out with a report saying all the calls that were missed or all the calls that were made correctly. And then not really have anything done about it. Like, I'm sure these referees have meetings where they're told, you know, you missed these calls or you made incorrect calls, but you gotta, I mean, remember the game 2 years ago against Utah with that goaltending that we should have won the game? Like, that could have cost us. It did pretty much. It came down to the wire for us to make the playoffs. Those are the type of things where that last 2 minute report would piss me off to see. Yeah, you were goaltended. Yeah. It's like, yeah, we know we were goaltended and there was nothing we could do about it. So needless to say, that was a long rant for this point here. Controversial. Jeremy Grant gets a buzzer beater, game winner. And according to the last 2 minute report, he traveled. To me, I could see it being called a travel, but I could also see it not being called a travel. It's such a hard judgment call where you're trying to gain possession of the ball while you're gathering at the same time. I've watched it so many times. I really couldn't tell you. Like, whatever the call was on the floor, I don't know how you could reverse it from that, in my opinion. And even if it was Phoenix, if Phoenix was the one that, you know, benefited from this, to me, it's just like, it was such a close call. I couldn't tell if it was one way or the other. I don't know if you have an opinion on it.
Yeah, when I watched it, I thought it was a travel. But after, you know, watching replays and stuff, I can see the other argument too, because he didn't have full control of the ball. But it's also hard to tell when he did gain full control. Mm-hmm. So I'm like 75-25 towards he did travel. But, you know, it is what it is. There's missed calls in every game. You don't, in my opinion, you don't win or lose based off, you know, calls, even though technically we did win off a missed call. But I think I don't like complaining about refs either way. It's just, you can't, like you said, you can't do anything about it. The last 2 minute report doesn't do anything. It's just, it is what it is. We won. He made a good shot. End of story, basically.
Yeah, and if you looked right after that game, if you looked on Reddit, every single Suns fan was losing their mind. Every single the announcers were losing their mind. Like, I know people were having to, because, you know, Root Sport is so great with what, you know, providing games for us. A lot of people had to put on their captain's hat and sail the seas to watch this game. They were complaining about how just how much the commentators were complaining about that call. And it's, to me, it was just so I mean, it was like a 1 second on the clock, and it was so fast. It's just so hard to call,
you know.
But Jeremy Grant, go for it.
Speaking of the last 2 minute report, the play before that, they said that shouldn't have been called a travel, and that kind of blew my mind, because
yeah,
to me that was like clear as day. That was that was a travel. He took I think he lifted his pivot foot or something like that. Whatever he did, I don't remember specifically, but that, like, to me, 100% that was a travel. Even all the players on our bench got up and they were like, that was a travel. So I don't know how the report said it's not, but that,
well,
that
just, and see, you me. Just you said it perfectly right there. The whole bench reacts to him traveling. The everyone on the court's reacting to him traveling. Jeremy Grant makes that three, you know, that shot. Not a single player on the Suns is saying he's traveling. You know, no one's thinking that. Except for the commentators and then this last 2 minute report. I agree with you 100%. I think it was Mikal Bridges that I can't even explain to you what he did. It looked so weird and awkward. He, to me, it was a travel. If that was the Blazers, it was a travel. Like, it, I don't know how they look at that and say it wasn't a travel, but I went back and watched it, because after I saw that report, I was like, how the hell was that not a travel? And I still think it is. So, but that game, Jeremy Grant went crazy. He had 30 points, hit a game winner. Justice Winslow played good minutes. This was a game where Nurk didn't do as well. He kind of, I don't know. It seemed, he didn't seem like, he only had 8 rebounds. He only had 14 points. It just seemed like, this is one of those games where it seemed like he wasn't fully engaged in the game. Like, maybe he thought because we didn't have Simons and Dame, it kind of was over with, but it just was weird. It was kind of a weird game. But then we had the second game of the back-to-back against Phoenix, and that one, unfortunately, we lost, and we lost pretty badly. I mean, I don't know if at any point in that game it was close. This is one of the games where I hardly caught any of it. But
yeah,
we lost by 20, and I don't feel like at any point it was ever close.
Yeah, I got the first quarter and maybe half of the second quarter. Yeah, it was never close, but it did feel within reach for the first quarter. And then at second quarter onwards, it was like, okay, it's game. it was expected. And
let's be honest. Leaving that back-to-back, 1-1 without Dame and Simons, that's a...
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting 0-2, so...
Yeah, 100%.
And then, you know... The game last night, we play Miami again. We get Dame back. We get Simons back. Surprisingly, it sounded like at first it sounded like Simons wasn't going to play, and then all of a sudden there's a report he is playing. So that was surprising to me. But once again, comes down to last second, and I think this is the fourth time now in 10 games we've had a game winner. And surprisingly, all 4 of those game winners have not been from probably, in my opinion, the most clutch player in the NBA, which is Damian Lillard. At one point, I think Dame pretty much had a game winner against LA. I think that was the one that went into overtime, right?
Was it overtime? I don't remember.
Was it? I don't. Maybe not. I just remember. I think Jeremy Grant's had 2 game winners, right? He had a layup, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And then the 3. And then...
then Simons
had the little floater. Mm-hmm. Yep, the little sky hook. And then tonight, or last night, against Miami, we had Josh Hart pull off his big heroic shot and hit a corner 3. Great pass by Lillard, pushing the pace. I think it was Max Strus hit a crazy 3 in the corner to tie the game with like 7 seconds left or something like that.
He's a crazy shooter, too. I watched a couple of games of his, and it's just like he just doesn't miss.
That's the problem. But there's a couple things I wanted to talk about. First thing though, just on this game itself, and it's going to tie into what we're going to talk about. Turnovers were killing us this game. I mean, we were just, I can count off the top of my head three different times where we passed the ball and Jimmy Butler just literally picked the ball off in the midair and just had an easy layup dunk. Like, it just lazy passes, predictable passes, and turnovers were just killing us. Let me see if I can get exactly how many turnovers we had. It was like something like 19 or something like that.
I think we're averaging the most in the league on the season as well on top of that. So
yeah, it's been very ugly, sloppy basketball. I feel like it's been turnovers.
Yeah, it's been worse against both Miami games, but I think even in general it's been worse than we would like.
But my unprepared self, I saw a tweet today talking about how like efficient we were. I wish I could pull it up. I don't even honestly know why I just brought it up, because I don't have it. So let's just pretend like I didn't bring it up. We were extremely efficient in the fourth quarter. Offensive rating was like through the roof. And honestly, Miami's was pretty high too, but ours was just so much higher. Great comeback. I mean, we were down at one point.
At least 10. Yeah,
at least 10. And we came back. Tied the game up, took the lead a couple times, tied it back up, took the lead, tied it back up, and then Strus hits that corner three, which was pretty well defended by, I believe it was Simons in the corner. And then I was kind of confused. They kept saying we had a timeout, but I thought we used our timeout on the inbound, so we didn't have a timeout anymore. But people kept saying we did.
No, I'm pretty sure we did. Dame said in the past, like, he prefers to just attack before the defense has a chance to set. So I think Chauncey knew that. He just didn't call it.
And especially against Miami too, who's a very good defensive team.
Dame knows he can probably get either a shot for himself or for someone else before the defense. That's exactly what he did. To attack, get it. Easy.
Uh-oh. I think we're losing you on your mic. It sounds like it's going in and out.
Am I back yet, or...
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yep. I think you're good.
Yeah. I was just saying, Dame knew that if the defense isn't set up, he can either get a good shot for himself, or like what actually happened, he found Josh Hart, who was open for a three. So he prefers not to use that timeout unless you absolutely need to.
Yeah. And it was a good read by Lillard. I think Kyle Lowry kind of helped up to kind of edge towards Lillard, which I don't blame Kyle Lowry for doing that. But, Dame found the right man, hit the open three buzzer beater. We took off running. But before we get to my last thing I wanted to talk about, is there anything you wanted to talk about as far as the turnovers and stuff go? Because I know that's been one of our biggest issues, is our turnovers.
Yeah, I just looked up the numbers. We're averaging 17 and we're 28th, not last. So just higher than 30th.
So to be 7-3 and be averaging the pretty much... you're pretty much averaging the most turnovers in the league. That's pretty good. That's kind of a testament to our defense, honestly. Is there anything else you want to talk about turnovers?
No, nothing with turnovers.
Okay. So one last thing I wanted to talk about before we go to the couple things you had was Josh Hart. I'm not disappointed in Josh Hart. It's just something I've kind of noticed recently, and it's kind of a little frustrating. I love Josh Hart. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not anywhere complaining about him. The one thing, though, that I'm not quite understanding is why he's so passive offensively. It seems like he has these open shots. He doesn't take them. He drives to the baseline, and he most likely could have a fairly easy, it'd be probably a contested layup, but a fairly easy layup. And he just continues to run through and try to pass out. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but it just feels like for some reason Josh Hart's so passive. He's more worried about making a pass and, trying to make the right play that way than, the defense giving him an open shot and him passing up on it. Have you noticed that, or is that an issue for you at all?
I have noticed he's definitely more passive than I guess we'd want, but I don't really have an issue with it. I don't think it's hurt us, in any significant way. So if he's not comfortable passing right now, if he's not comfortable going up for the shot right now, I'm okay with it. Hopefully as the season goes on, he just gets more comfortable in our system. And then the coaching staff talks to him too about just going up with it. But right now, I really don't think it's a big issue at all.
Well, and I mean, we've seen it. Like, we know he scores. No, yeah. No. And I'm not complaining about his passes necessarily. It just seems like he's passing up on a lot of shots that are makeable shots, or at least good shots to take. And we've seen him. He scored 40 points for us before. So we know he can score. He's hit this big three in the corner. We know he can shoot. He's a very good. He's a very good 3-point shooter. Honestly, he's not a bad 3-point shooter. It's just my one little issue that I've had with him, and it's a small issue because we are winning games and it's not costing us. But if it continues and it ends up costing us because he's passing up on open shots, it's my one little concern I have for him. But like I said, it's not even that much of a concern. It's just kind of, there's been times where I've gotten annoyed that he's passed up open shots. Fawad, you said you had a couple things you wanted to talk about, so I'm going to throw it to you and let you kind of go from there.
Sure. In one of our off-season episodes, we talked about who we think would be the number two option after Dame. And, you know, we're 10 games into the season now. What do you think about first of all, who do you think is our second option right now, if we even have one or have one?
I would say technically our second option is Simons, which isn't surprising, obviously. But I honestly almost feel like Jeremy Grant is like, it's almost like 2A, 2B kind of thing. And I almost feel like and this is something we talked about, like you said, in the preseason one. It almost feels better to have Jeremy Grant be our second option. But I mean, right now I believe Simons is averaging like 22 a game. And last I checked, I thought Jeremy Grant was averaging 18. So they're close. To me, it's 2A, 2B, and I'm fine with it. But I would say right now Simons is our second leading scorer, and I'm not surprised by it, honestly. I would have almost been more surprised if Grant was.
I don't remember what I said when we talked about it before, but I feel like I probably expected it to be Simons. And yeah, I agree that he's probably been our second option, but it's closer to 2A, 2B than otherwise. And I feel like whenever, you know, if Grant is going, he gets the ball. So it's not like he's being shunned off into, you know, like, it's not like Simons is the go-to. It's just he's the default. And if Grant is clicking or if someone else is clicking, then they get the ball too. So it's very much, I feel like, you know, every game is different. We're just playing to whoever's having a better night that game, I guess, which has been good to see. And I feel like, it's been effective. We have so many different scoring options now. I feel like almost every single game we have four or five guys scoring in double figures. So even after those two, the next few guys, I like how balanced it is, and we have multiple different options.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have four guys in double figures, and Josh Hart's at 9, and Sharp is at pretty much 9 as well. So, one thing about Jeremy Grant, I don't know, we might have even talked about this before. He is a knockdown corner 3-point shooter, yeah, and he almost is
really good.
He's almost more deadly when he doesn't even set his shot, when he catches the ball high. And I think we've talked about it before. If anytime I see him catch the ball high and he shoots it, I'm automatically like, yeah, that's in. That's a green shot, as in those 2K players would say. That's green. Like, it's just in every time. And it's quick shot. He's not having to set himself. He's just catching it high and shooting it from there. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
He had a clutch three last game too, where he just climbed it right up, like, from up there and put it up. And I was like, oh, we talked about that. Yeah, he's shooting shooting 43.5% from three this year, which is by far his highest. His next highest before that was 39. So, even that was pretty good. So even if he does regress to the mean a little bit, his mean isn't too much lower than what he's shooting right now, but he's just been knocked down this year.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Was there one more thing you want to talk about, right? Or am I imagining that?
I don't remember if we talked about anything before, but right now I thought of just a general question about the season so far. What has been the biggest surprise for you, whether that's positive or negative?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious thing and the biggest surprise has been our defense. But on top of that, I'm willing to eat my words and admit when I'm wrong. Shaedon Sharpe, when we took him, I was upset, you know, but He looks, he's smooth with his game. He jumps, you know, like pretty soon they're going to have to raise the roof a little bit higher because I'm pretty sure pretty soon he's going to hit his head on it. So, I mean, he defensively, offensively, he does a little bit of everything. And it's like, just like as the season goes on and as his career goes on, it's only going to get better. I honestly, this is going to sound crazy. Besides maybe Paolo and Keegan Murray, we might have got the third best player, and he could very well end up being the best player in from this draft.
You're forgetting Mathurin, like, though.
Mathurin has been good.
I think Sharp has an argument.
Like, I'm not going to throw. Yeah, I won't put Mathurin out of the conversation. He's been playing very well too, but I feel like if Sharp was getting the amount of playing time and ball, you know, in his hands as Mathurin was, we probably would be saying more about Sharp than we would be about Mathurin. Not saying that Mathurin's not good, because that was another guy that me and you both were, you know, high on and were okay with drafting. So, but to me, I'm willing to say I was wrong about being as upset about Sharp as I was, because he has been very, I've enjoyed watching every minute he's been in.
Yeah, just 100% agree on all of that. I didn't think he would be NBA ready this season, and he's looking like, you know, a rotation player on a playoff team. So that's a huge surprise. I didn't think he would play much the whole season, and he's already averaging what, like probably 15 minutes a game in almost every single game. So
averaging 20 right now.
Oh my god. And it's not like
now all this could change with Gary Payton coming back, obviously.
For sure. He will definitely lose some of his minutes, hopefully not all of them, but we'll see what happens with that. But for me, actually, Sharp is probably the biggest surprise. But what I was thinking of was Jeremy Grant's shooting, because I didn't think he was going to be, you know, that locked down. And, you know, along the same lines, I didn't, I don't know how to word this. I guess he fits into our offense, you know, seamlessly. And I thought it would have been a little bit clunky at first, since in Detroit, he was that first option. So I thought he would kind of wanted to retain more of that. But he's playing more of a complementary role, which I was very pleasantly surprised by. He's still creating his own shots, but he's not forcing anything. And that was something that I loved. And I thought it might have taken, you know, 10, 20 games to figure out. But he's, you know, he's fit the team like a glove.
And we got Gary Payton, glove number 2, coming in.
The mitten.
Let me ask you, I'm going to rapid fire a couple questions to you real quick before we wrap this up. First things first, though, if you guys haven't already, I was on a podcast called the What Podcast, which was an acronym for We Have a Take. It's a Blazer focused podcast. If you guys haven't listened, it's a very fun podcast. I enjoyed my time. I was actually on the podcast with a couple other podcast groups that we actually haven't really talked with or met with. So it was nice to talk with them as well. So if you guys haven't listened to it, go check them out. It was a very fun podcast. And just in general, they have fun podcasts to listen to. They come up with some pretty unique ideas. And for example, this episode was, they were trying to create a playlist of songs for this season. And so it was fun hearing everyone's songs that they were, you know, comparing to this season so far. And then it's a playlist that they actually made on YouTube and Spotify that you can listen to. So it's a very fun podcast. If you haven't listened to it, I highly encourage you listening to it. I even believe they're in our Discord as well, a couple of them. So if you're listening now and you're not in our Discord, get in there and join it and join in on the conversations. But something I wanted to ask you, Fawad, was Tim from the Busted Bucket podcast was also in this podcast with us. And he asked a question to me, and it kind of caught me off guard a little bit. What are the percentage chance that we retain Jeremy Grant? What do you think?
I think it's very high. I'd probably put it above 80, if not above 90. I think he wanted to be here. I think he has a good relationship with Dame. He has a good role in the offense, and I think we can pay him what he wants. I don't know if we will, but I think if it comes down to, if it, you know, if it's our choice between paying him like 30 a year versus letting him walk, I think we will pay him. So based on that, I, you know, I don't see why he would not stay.
Yeah. And when Tim asked me, I kind of caught me off guard. I tried to think, I didn't want to be like Mr. Oh, we're guaranteed we're going to keep him. So I kind of went a little conservative and I said 60% because I do think we're going to keep him. My biggest concern was, does Jody Allen want to spend the money to keep him? Because I have a feeling other teams are going to be offering him fairly decent contracts that are going to be hard to match, or not match, but hard for Grant to just like ignore and be like, no, I want to stay here. I do think Jeremy Grant likes it here. I do think he fits well here, and I think he knows he fits well here, and he has a good relationship with Dame. So I agree with you. I would say it's at least 70-75% that we are going to keep him, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than that. But it was an interesting question, and it caught me off guard. And then after I said 60%, I was sitting there thinking, why the hell did I say 60%? Because I think it's more than that. So, but also, if you guys haven't listened to Busted Bucket, they're a very fun podcast to listen to as well. They've had some just recently. They had Brian Wheeler for an interview, and that was a fun one to listen to. They've had a lot of big name people on their podcast, so they're a good podcast to listen to as well. I thought I had one more question. One more.
I have one if you want some more time to think. So I think last episode I asked something like, something along the lines of, is it too, or how many more games do you need to have like concrete decisions? So you think, so basically what I'm trying to ask is, do you think 10 games in, is our play, do you trust our play to remain what it is, or do you think it could be just a hot stretch or something like that?
I love this question because I literally think about it every single day and I can't get a firm answer on it. I think because I'm so like, because I've been a Blazer fan for, you know, a good while now, I'm so afraid to just like admit like, yeah, we're good. This team looks like it can actually do something. Like, I'm so afraid to like open my heart up to it. I still feel like 10's too early. And thank you for asking this question because you reminded me of my question. So I think 10's still too early. I would say once we get like 20-25 games in, where we're at from there and how we're playing from there, that's when I'll really feel like comfortable saying yes, no, maybe a little, maybe not. But like right now it's so early and we're playing so like, the games are close still. A lot of our games are close and, you know, come down to game winners. Like we said, 4 of them have been game winners out of the 10. So I don't know. Obviously, our schedule has been tough. It's been a tough starting schedule. So to be 7-3 and to start the, you know, the season with schedule wise the way we did, that's a good sign. And it seems like the players are like, I don't know if you've noticed this. I don't know how often you check Twitter, but a lot of players are like kind of tweeting little like hints, like how special they think this team actually is. And it like that gets me excited. And like seeing like Dame not hitting a game winner yet, and you know, everyone else hitting game winners right now. Dame and Nurk are the only two that haven't technically hit a game winner. So it's just, it's been so fun to watch. I'm not complaining one bit. What about you? How do you feel? Do you think 10's too early? Do you think it's, or how do you feel in general?
Yeah, I'm mostly in the same boat as you. Before the season, I would have thought 10 would have given me at least some idea, but I'm still pretty, I don't know what to believe, what's real, what's not. Hopefully 20 games tells us a little bit more, but I think right now I'm going from, so before the season, I thought we would probably be somewhere in the 7-9 range. And we would definitely make the playoffs, whether that was, you know, through the 8th seed or through the play-in. Maybe we're in like the 4-5-6 range and we'll just avoid the play-in altogether. But again, it's still too early. 20-25 games, I think I'll know more.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm mad at myself now because I told myself I was going to go back and listen to our episode where we had our predictions for the first 10 games. I want to say I said 5-5, or I might have even said 6-4. But do you recall what you said?
Yeah, I think I said either 4-6 or 3-7. So definitely. Ooh. surpass that, you know,
exceeding your expectations.
Yeah, I want to justify it a little bit just in case anyone didn't hear the other one. It was because, you know, we have what, 4 new rotation players, maybe 5.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's definitely gonna take us some time to work things out. You know, it's not that I didn't think we were not talented. I just thought there would be some growing pains mixed in with having a really tough schedule. So I thought we might have a rough start, but that doesn't mean we're that bad of a team. So that was my reason for expecting that. But we, you know, clearly 7-3 against a very tough schedule is very, very encouraging, and I'm very, very happy with what we've seen.
Very much so. One last question before we're done, and it's probably going to just, it kind of ties in with what we just talked about. Chauncey Billups, I know a lot of people were, you know, saying he's not the right man. I said I was willing to give him more time and, you know, evaluate him. These first 10 games have been, I've liked a lot of the things I've seen from him, like the decisions he's made, the minutes that he's been playing guys, and it seems like the defensive scheme is working a lot better. So I'm still wanting to give it time, because I don't want to just jump in and say, yeah, it's great. But these first 10 games have been very promising.
Yeah, 100%. I think we talked about last episode as well, but we were never on the fire Chauncey train or anything like that. But I think he's definitely proven himself to at least be, you know, at least get the full season. And I think he silenced anyone that thought he was, you know, the worst coach in the NBA, which was absolutely wild to me that anyone thought that to begin with.
Yeah. So, other than that, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Nothing really, but one little minor tidbit. We are, like you said, the tied for the second seed in the West, but our 3 games against Phoenix, that's all the games we have. That's our season series. We don't have a 4th game, so we already won.
Correct.
That tiebreaker. Yep. So that's a good, you know, that's a good thing that we got out of the way, and it could help us later on at the end of the season in terms of seeding.
Yeah, and you know, one thing, I know we said we're going to wrap it up, and here we are again. One thing I wanted to add to that, I think part of the reason why the NBA world isn't reacting as crazy as I feel like they should be to our start of the season is because Utah Jazz are doing pretty much the exact same
100%.
Thing. And it's kind of putting like a little like, what the hell? That's not right. So if they're doing that, then Portland's doing this. It must not be right. I think if Utah wasn't doing what they're doing right now, which is just equally as insane as what we're doing right now.
Probably more insane.
Actually, it's more insane. It's more insane than what we're doing. I think if that wasn't happening, I think you would hear a lot more about us on the ESPN and the national radio and everything. Because you really don't hear a lot about us. And honestly, the game last night, when I got in the car this morning, you know, same old, Portland, and, you know, they're going over the game. They're reacting to the game. And it's more about what Miami did wrong and, like, listen to the announcers on this one for Miami. And it's like, well, what the hell? We were the team that won. Why are we, like, more focused on Miami? So that's just
No, that's a really good point. I think that's soapbox. That probably affected me subliminally too, or subconsciously. I think if, you know, they weren't 9-3, then I might have been more satisfied with our record 10 games in. But I think seeing that definitely affects how we view our own record.
Yeah, and 100% what Utah's doing is far crazier than
we play them pretty soon. 11 days. November 9th.
That's gonna be a fun game. Just imagine if somehow this continued in playoff wise, we're up. Like, it's just crazy. There's no way, right? There's no way it can happen.
Who knows?
Who knows? Okay, so this is almost an hour long again. So that's insane for how scatterbrained we were. But like I said, very soon, hopefully in the next week or two, we will have a new Blazer fan, a new unbiased Trailblazer fan, and a new Blazer fan in our midst. So stay tuned. The schedule could change a little bit. I'm hoping it doesn't. It's a nice place to come in and just kind of get your mind off of everything else and just come in here and talk. So for the last hour, I've not thought about anything but basketball, which is lovely. So thank you, Fawad. If you guys are still listening, we appreciate every single one of you that listens. We love every single one of you. Have a great day. Have a great night. And as always, Rip City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.
I'm trying, Jennifer.